Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
That's the best one right there.
It's funny, my teammates say, you act like you just got out of prison. I said, well, you know.
I would be mentally a lot sharper at this point had I eaten more cheese.
You know, obviously, kind of like the master and the, you know, Padawan.
It's never been about revenge. It's about a reckoning.
Hey, what up? It's Mercedes Lewis here, a.k.a. Big Dog. Big Dog, Big Dog, Big Dog. You're listening to Poor Man's Package Podcast. Go, Pack, go.
Right, man, I'm so excited. Let's roll. Let's roll.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, the number one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I'm Spencer Sismanowicz, joined, as always, with, man, I'm stumbling, with Kyle and Hank.
Hello.
No Hank once again this week. As
tisk tisk.
As everyone heard, we did not get a hello from Hank. Or he usually kind of has a variety.
He switches it up. Yeah, I know he's pulled a howdy before, kind of like an extended, almost like a question mark hello.
Yeah, yeah. He had the hello, which reminded me of my grandpa. That's how he always greets
people.
Yeah,
the double hello. I do like the variety he brings, but not here to bring it this week.
Yeah, not here. As everyone knows, with Thanksgiving coming, Menards is obviously very busy. there's no connection there at all. But Kyle, it's been a while. Last week, obviously we record on Tuesdays, which there was some big news that popped up after that. So before we get into it, we haven't been able to talk about it. It's obviously been a pretty explosive topic since we've last talked, and it would be remiss if we did not, you know, bring it up at some point. And Kyle, obviously, we've talked about it along with Hank, and it's been kind of embarrassing to see the discussion going around with this. No real nuance, no real great, you know, conversation going on around it. So, Kyle, we might as well just talk about it, get it over with right off the top. What did you think of Jordan Love's performance on Sunday?
Well, and this is tough for me to say, and a little worried about admitting it publicly, but I genuinely liked what I saw towards the end there. It was, I think, pretty clear in the beginning. It was a little jittery, a little nervous. People kept saying that he looked lost, which I think, I don't think that's an appropriate word to use. Lost, I would, like, if he kept looking at the sideline and kept, like, you know, having this confused look on his face, that'd be one thing. But like it felt like he had command of the huddle. He had command of the line of scrimmage. It looked like he was making checks, and you know, he was confident. But it also, yeah, it looked like there were some jitters and some nerves, and I didn't think he really got his feet under him until like midway through the third. But from that point on, I genuinely liked what I saw outside of the pick. But
it's such a tough game to evaluate. Obviously, I don't know shit. I just watch the Packers on Sundays. I don't go deep diving into film and stuff.
Same.
But honestly, it was just about the worst possible outcome I could imagine. Because it's like,
wait, worst? Why?
Well, it's almost like the final season of Game of Thrones. Like, it was unexpected and the worst outcome I could think of, just because I still don't know what to think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He wasn't extraordinarily good, and he wasn't all out bad. I think a lot of us watching the game live were pretty negative on the game. I'm still leaning that way overall, but
I think our collective minds have been poisoned, and we're just so constantly inundated with opinions and analysis, and
true.
It's like it was four quarters of actual real football. Like, we can just kind of exhale and then, you know, let more games play out to evaluate. We don't have to, like, you know, forecast this guy's career. But again, yeah, that's kind of where we're at today, and like, we just need to say, oh, he's not gonna be good, sign Rodgers forever.
Yeah.
Like, I just, let's relax a little bit.
And I agree with you for the most part on that, but it is the craziest, oddest situation for a quarterback to really have his first start, because I'm trying to think, and there's different ways to measure it, but there aren't many first starts that were more pressure-packed than this. Probably Aaron Rodgers, his first start. But other than that, it's like...
And, like, Rodgers didn't light the world on fire with his first start, did he?
True, but at the same time, you know, because we are making a lot of excuses for Jordan Love, some correctly, some incorrectly, I would say. But at the same time, I'd go back, and if we were going into this game with Tim Boyle starting, I think he probably would have played a little bit better. You know what I mean?
What was the final stat? I think it was like 28 pressures.
28 pressures, like, 48% of dropbacks.
Tim Boyle is not gonna be much different, I think, in that scenario.
It's tough, but Bill Huber said this too, you know, and it would be something with Rodgers if he were back there. Once you hit someone when they blitz, they're gonna start blitzing less. And that was part of the problem is, you know, he didn't get going until the third quarter after got even the big dog play, which we'll eventually get into.
Yeah.
But it's so damn tough. And like you said, he didn't, you know, he looked a little nervous at first, but it wasn't like the Jared Goff shit that we saw with the Rams, where it's like almost a college player always looking at the sideline.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, it felt like he had command. He was making checks at the line of scrimmage. You know, he was putting guys in motion. Like, it just felt like he knew he belonged there. But I'm telling everyone, I think it's really encouraging that he played his best, you know, in the fourth quarter, and, you know, a couple throws there where he had time and he got his feet under him, and he had his legs under the throw and, like, rifled it in there, that ball over to MVS over the middle, Devontae on the sideline. Like, I just think I'm really encouraged by that fourth quarter, and I just think once he gets more games or game reps, I think he'll just continue to improve. I'm still bullish.
Weird take here, but it's sometimes maybe we're a little more extreme with our takes, even if we try not to. Honest to God, I hope Aaron Rodgers has a temperature on Friday or Saturday and can't play, because I want to see Jordan Love. I want to see him play again before we have to make this decision. You talked a lot about there, you know, how we're really being critical of him, but we kind of have to, because that is the position that Brian Gutekunst has put this organization. So,
and it's
we'll
like
see.
And unfortunately, even with a 17th game, we can't even really do that thing where, like, oh well, maybe we'll see him. You know, maybe, because the number one seed is by no means a guarantee for any of the NFC. The NFC is very top heavy and loaded. So, I have a feeling they'll be playing for the one seed through all 17 games, so it's not like we can even bank on that being a possibility.
It sure seems so after the way this weekend went too, with all the top dogs in the NFC losing, aside from the Cardinals obviously winning without Kyler Murray and a couple of their other
weapons. But
we
got the head-to-head on them.
Yeah, which is awesome. So and who knows, maybe if we keep it rolling and when we get some reinforcements back too, maybe we lock up the number one seed, or maybe it's out of our reach week 17 and then we can start Jordan Love.
I mean,
wouldn't that be something if he comes in, we're playing the Lions week 17 too, and he has his own little Matt Flynn game.
Yes.
Fuck, that would be tough. I don't know what kind of, and I could have led off with this too. We have the Odell Beckham Jr. stuff. I don't know how much we're going to talk about this episode. I've said it again, and it's, you could call it sexist or whatever too.
Whoa.
NFL, and especially being a Green Bay Packer fan, is a soap opera for men. Mm-hmm. Honest, it's, mm-hmm. I obviously we're a little biased, but I can't think of a more stressful team that you could root for over the last decade than the Green Bay.
The last 6 months.
It's fucking...
My God.
The last week, there's been more shit than most teams go through for seasons,
on to win the Super Bowl. This documentary is going to be 3 hours long.
That's one last thing before we get into the rest of the episode. I might have already said that, too. Something that makes me feel like we're going to play in the Super Bowl this year is with Aaron Rodgers and this COVID shit. So obviously, okay, it happened, whatever he... Well, we won't do the little... We won't do the second joke we were going for. Something else. So obviously he tested positive, whatever, he's got COVID. He doesn't have to test for 90 days. He doesn't have to test until after the NFC Championship game. This is 100% going to be a storyline leading up to the Super Bowl because of Media Day.
Yes.
It's going to be a storyline. It's already been written.
Put him in a bubble.
More than the defense looking good, the offense having some room for improvement here, the Packers are going to be in the Super Bowl because that is a pre-written story right there. That's going to happen.
I think it was Tobey Maguire, like Bubble Boy. They literally, he lives in a plastic bubble. Just do
Jake
that.
Gyllenhaal. Jake Gyllenhaal.
There it is. Yeah.
God, weird to think that that's him, too, with... He's a good-looking young... Well, he's not a young man anymore, and he is not a good-looking young man in that. I'll keep going with the episode here. So we'll have a normal episode. We'll have our piss six. We'll have the six big plays that shape the game. After that, we'll break down the offense and defense and special teams, unfortunately. We got time. Maybe we'll talk take news. Maybe we'll have some Rodgers shit or Zadarius shit or Odell Beckham shit. We'll have his Kyle and Idiot, some Packers trivia. We'll have a preview of the Seahawks game, and then we'll have an outro. I don't think we're going to have According to Hank this week, unfortunately. So,
damn it, Hank.
That's it. But with that, piss six.
Pick six. Pick six. Pick six.
Yeah! All right. First piss six play. First drive after the Packers.
Go three and out.
The Chiefs have a 4th and 1 on their own 46, handoff right up the middle, and Darrell Williams, I believe, picks up 10 yards, gets the first. Chiefs obviously convert. They eventually have two more third down conversions on that drive, which leads to the Chiefs' only touchdown of the game to Travis Kelce. Kind of a prototypical, you know, I don't think we've said his name a couple of weeks. This is like the beginning, you know, of a Mike Pettin type game where Ben don't break, and then you break right at the end there, but a hard-fought drive for the defense.
Yeah, I really thought that the Chiefs had to earn every single yard on that drive. Like, it was 1st and 10, 2nd and 7, 3rd and 3, you know, rinse, repeat all the way down the field. Like, there weren't any real, like, chunk plays on that drive. So,
yep.
I don't know. I think let's not talk about Pettin, please. Ever.
Yeah, it's kind of fun now because now we can look back because I feel so good about Barry.
True.
Where it's like, you know, we don't have it. And Dom Capers and Mike Pettin, it's hilarious how they're two of the first names that come up when you want to talk about a 3-4 defense. And now we've got this fucking Joe Barry. And he's, you know, coordinating one of the best defenses in football right now. So, yeah, first play or first series of plays, they're kind of a kicking the balls, but only touchdown that they let up.
Yeah, and then Packers go, I think, probably 3 and out again. Maybe they picked up a first down on their ensuing drive, but Chiefs got the ball back without the Packers scoring. They have another 4th and 1.
Second piss six play.
Yeah, first play of the second quarter. They come out in a real condensed, you know, looking like they're going to pound it up the middle formation. They play action. Defense swarms. Gary's right there. Was not fooled at all and throws it out to Darrell Williams, or I think it might have been.
No,
okay,
it was
Williams. And Savage, like a bottle rocket, just fires out, makes the tackle, and puts the Packers in great field position to start the second quarter. It was a hell of a defensive play. It really felt like, all right, the defense is here to play today, and they set up Jordan Love perfectly, and we got a shot.
Something we don't see very often, the defense swarming like that. It's crazy how in every facet, and you talked about it, but Gary's really good at getting his hands up too.
That was so good. Like the double hand wave he was doing. Like he could have just, you know, put his head down and sprint and gave Mahomes a much clearer path and kind of lane to make that throw. But yeah, I think the hands really altered Mahomes's, you know, decision making.
Yeah, that little hesitation and having to put a little bit more air under the ball allows Savage and Chris Barnes to just swarm.
Close the window.
We don't see that shit, and it's weird. I don't know if I said this last week, but I know I said this to you and Hank when we were watching the Cardinals game. For whatever it is, or for whatever reason, on both sides of the ball, when we're going for it on fourth down, I'm extremely nervous, and I'm like, we're not going to get it. And then on defense, too, I'm like, they're going to get it. No matter what, they're going to get it. Yeah. It's just always a negative mindset, but...
No, so like, and what I mentioned with you, I almost felt better about getting the stop when they came out in that condensed, you know, fullback formation.
Yeah.
If they would have, like, spread them out, which I think is what they did on the first fourth and one, they would have spread them out. I feel much worse on that just because of the Chiefs' speed. But I guess on top of that, this Packers defense is legitimately fast. Like, they fly around.
Yeah, it's weird, too. Even, like, Kevin King is, like, a decent guy in the slot where he's been playing now, too. It's weird how we're a little bit more physical on all facets. And piggyback off what you were saying, I don't think it was one of what will end up being one of the pick six plays. But on that final drives that the Chiefs had in this game, they had that it was a 3rd and 5. And I think we were offsides, or we had some penalty, backed it up to a 3rd and 10. It's like, fuck, we should have just declined it. I know it's a joke, but honestly, and we, you know, with this play here in those short yardage situations, the defense is just a little bit better than, you know, those other plays where you allow the offense to have a little bit more time and maybe move it downfield. The third pick six play, we'll skip the AJ Dillon stuff. We'll talk about him later. 2:47 left in the second quarter, still 0-7. Chiefs are punting. Murray Rogers back for the punt return, puts his hand up, calling for a fair catch, runs up, kind of stops, hesitates. Ball bounces like 10 yards in front of him. Malik Taylor, the ball bounces, hits him. He has no idea where the ball is. Chiefs recover. That's just part of the play. It's the negative, but the real part of this is later on third down for the Chiefs. 3rd and goal on the 4 or 5 yard line, swing out again to Williams. Williams is like part of all these plays.
Yeah.
And Chris Barnes, who had the game of his life.
Oh, yeah.
Rushes. You think he's going to be able to make it just over the pylon there, but Barnes runs right through him.
Absolute violence. Oh, my God. Like, especially with the way Williams is built. Like,
yeah,
he just has that look of, like, he might not run you over, but he's going to, you know, if both are colliding, he's going to stand you up, and there's going to be a moment of, like, chopping the feet and it kind of a standstill. But no, Barnes legitimately sent him the opposite direction. It was, ooh, wow, what a violent hit.
You don't see that very often. It does remind me, not the physicality of it, but because of the location of that Blake Martinez hit. God, we probably brought this up like 4 times now against the Raiders at Lambeau and Derek Carr. Right? Yeah, Derek Carr, where he fumbled right at the goal line there.
Yep.
Pretty similar, just big hit. That one wasn't as big, but it obviously caused the fumble. But it was one of those where you got to look up, and Fox did a good job of having like the microphone right there, too. It's like, holy shit.
Yeah, and Slayton was pretty jazzed up about it.
That's
too.
Right. TJ Slayton.
Big flex.
He's a great interview, too, and they have him on, or when they did during training camp on the Zooms. Very energetic, personable guy, it seems. And he's outside of the play. He's running up if you watch the replay, and then you see him after the play just like flex while he's running.
Yeah.
He's like 20 yards away still running up. So
good. He knew. Like, he probably heard it from, you know, the opposite side of the field, how big that collision was. Game of his life, though, Chris Barnes, for sure. And also, yeah, to kind of go back to what set all that up, the muffed punt, not really Malik's fault.
No.
Amari simply has to find a way to field that, or maybe give his teammates a heads up sooner to clear the hell out. But yeah, pretty bad from the rook there.
Yeah, I think I'll just wait. We'll talk about special teams when we get to special teams later. But yeah, that is just inexperienced and nervous. If anyone looked nervous on Sunday, it was Amari Rogers. It was more Amari than Jordan Love. But Kyle, what is the fourth to six play?
So there's 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Packers are driving and are actually on the Chiefs 25. This was the best looking drive of the game. I think they started pretty backed up.
Offense had rhythm for the
first time. Yeah, it felt like they were like, all right, we're, you know, 10 is getting his feet under him, you know. Yep. He's getting more comfortable.
God, that sounds weird. And just you saying that, 10 getting comfortable, his feet under him, fuck.
And he kind of just floats it up, and not a very good ball, and is intercepted and kind of just deflates the momentum that they had going. And yeah, other, like, that was probably one of the obviously the worst throws of his day, just because he didn't really give Devontae a chance. Like, Devontae started playing defense probably right away as soon as he saw the ball in the air. But yeah, just a tough one from Love there.
Yeah, weird. I mean, football really is a game of inches, because there was a couple of them too, even earlier on, I think the first or second drive, where just close enough where Adams had to play defense on that too to smack it down. But I'll mention this here, the number one Jordan Love fan, Jake Morley, I think he works for Packer Report or whatever. He was at the game, huge Jordan Love fan. He's a photographer taking pictures for the play, and he was right there, literally yards away to watch Jordan Love's first career INT. Very also nice. The same place where his first career touchdown happened. Yep. But Jake's the biggest homer. I'll just say this quick. I still remember after the first preseason game with Jordan Love, he said, "Now we know Jordan Love is good. We just have to see how good he's going to be." And I'm just like,
what a weird.
Let's slow our roll a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, exactly. Let's slow our roll.
Yeah. So what? It's me now. The fifth piss six play. 5 minutes left in the game. Kind of alluded to it there. Facing a fourth and five. So it was a fourth down play. We might forget that. High pressure situation. Love drops back, goes deep to Lazard, who makes the catch and ducks the defender. God, watching it, it might have been like a limbo stick, and he did not touch it. Because that's that defender for the Chiefs, too.
Sorensen, yeah, and that was the chatter of the week. It's just like, just pick on him. Like, wherever he is on the field, pick on him. And then, yeah, he proved that that was astute advice because,
yeah. Oof. And Lazard just walks in after that, and it's like, one of those was like, oh, wow, okay, we finally had some offense. Then you remember the score. It's like, oh, shit, this game is still going on, and led into the next
God, the defense just kept – because, yeah, even after that interception, they just kept getting stops. They got the ball back again, and now it's a one-possession game. They kept getting stops. But then, of course, third and 10 near midfield. There's I think the two-minute warning just passed.
Yep.
Obviously, if they get a stop here, they get a chance, they get a first down. Packers don't have any timeouts. And he rolls out, pocket collapses a little bit. Gary is, ooh, he's right there. He's just getting them. And, I mean, you cannot expect Tyreek to stay covered for more than 7 seconds. And, obviously, that was the case. He got open. Yep. And they get the first down, game over.
Yep, Sullivan was back in coverage, and he slipped. The first real mistake he made, the secondary
which
as a whole.
Which you can't even really, because he had covered him up to point. Like, there's not much you can ask more from Chan in there. It should have been a coverage sack, but, yeah, the D just didn't get home. But, I mean, I don't fault them at all. They had plenty of stops throughout the game to where it's like, God, what else could they possibly do?
It is, and since you're, I was going to wait for the defense talk to bring it up, but it is one of those things where with this game, obviously, we ended up losing, but God, it's hard not to feel better about this year after that game because, you know, going into this game too, that defense had the mindset of, hey, we have to win this game. We have to perform on Sunday. It makes you optimistic that we'll be able to turn it on again in the playoffs and this defense will perform when given, you know, this circumstance
proper
again.
Motivation. And yeah, I think this, they have so many, like, and they preach about this, but so many leaders in the locker room, but genuinely, it just feels like everyone out there is like, could be a captain for that defense. Like every single player. It's really impressive.
I mean, they've talked about Devondre Campbell a bunch, how he's been kind of outspoken. He got defensive player of the month for October. And I'm sure a bunch of people saw the tweet where Joe Barry said, when they wanted to acknowledge him in the meeting room, he said, hey, we got to get back to the meeting.
What's our third down plan?
It's third down.
Very, very J.J. Watt-esque, but
I don't
a cool tidbit nonetheless.
It goes back to...
If it becomes a habit where we're getting tidbits like this, then it's J.J. Watt, but like a little tidbit here and there is good.
You're saying J.J. Watt, you want to hear my take on it?
Uh-oh.
You're going to love it. If...
oh, boy.
And if, and maybe it'll still happen this year, we'll see. If that same player, if it were Za'Darius Smith, he would have had an Instagram story that had just dots, and it was all just reposting everyone saying that he was NFC Defensive Player of the Month.
Boomer.
Devondre Campbell's like, let's get on to the next, next week. Za'Darius would probably like stand up and like relish in it when everyone's clapping.
God,
we'll move on. So, review of the game, starting with the offense, as we always do. Jordan Love played football. I don't have his stats here. Yes, I do. He was 19 out of 34, 190 yards, one touchdown, one pick.
And we're not going to be the podcast that is like, ooh, yo, played Mahomes. Which, that, I mean, he did, but God, that was shut up.
That was incredibly annoying. Two big things. One, Patrick Mahomes, I think, has proven enough in the league at this point. I don't think he's trying to prove to his team, you know, that he could be the quarterback of the future.
Yeah, he's no Aaron Rodgers, though.
Second thing, and the Chiefs obviously came and played on Sunday on defense, but Mahomes went against our defense, which is a very, 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 very good defense.
Yeah, but also people have been saying that the Chiefs, I mean, yeah, statistically, ugh, but
weird team.
People have said they've been trending up the last month and they might be a little better than what their reputation is. But, you know, as they say in the NFL, you are what your record says you are. And
well, yeah, they're a winning team now, at least 5-4. So I wouldn't count them out. Like I said to you before we started recording, wouldn't be surprised if they stumble into the playoffs and then get hot like they usually do. And, you know, they make it to at least the AFC
Championship. Just 0 points in the second half is just so bizarre.
Weird and forgettable, too. Didn't even think of that until, you know, after the game. But Jordan Love, you know, we've talked about him a little bit off the top there. A couple, you know, interesting plays. He did on that one run, went back and actually threw some hands a little bit to block on a play.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun to see from you only usually get that from your young quarterbacks. The older guys will just kind of stop.
Stand there.
You know, we see that from Rodgers. He had the deep bomb to Cobb, which, I mean, we argue, we can talk about this with Cobb.
You're so wrong about this.
That was a bad decision that had a good outcome.
You said, no, he was open and he caught it. And you said it should have been picked, and no. Like, it had 0% chance of getting intercepted.
It was
either going to be completed or broken up. That was it. There was if you look at the defender, he had 0% chance of intercepting that ball.
Rule of thumb that I've always had, and when I say that, I mean I just came up with it right now. If the receiver looks like they're fielding a punt on a catch, it's probably not
bad
the
rule
best.
Of thumb. Yeah. It was a good throw, good decision.
He also missed huge Adams on that fourth down play in the first or second quarter, I believe. It was the second quarter right before the 2-minute warning, I think.
The other one throw where he kind of lofted. I don't know if this is the throw you're talking about, but he lofted. It was towards the sideline and kind of in the broadcast view. It looked like it was a ball that Devontae catches in his sleep. But then on a different angled replay, it was pretty poorly thrown.
Oh,
if he gets that up a little more towards the sideline, Devontae, catches that in his sleep.
Yep.
A few balls here and there where it's like, Rodgers just puts it, you know, pinpoints it so much better. But, I mean, again, this is the first four quarters of real football. Like, I just think getting his feet under him is going to be really good. And that fourth quarter, like, the two throws to start, maybe it was the interception drive or maybe it was the scoring drive.
But it was the interception
where
drive.
Where he had time and he just, you stepped in and he fired it in there. And I just, those were really encouraging. And I think, I really like what I saw in the fourth quarter, genuinely.
It's weird because you're talking about, you know, that first drive of the fourth quarter, the first throw he had to Devontae, that out route. It's like he turns into a different quarterback where it's like 1 in 10 or 1 in 15 throws. You're like, huh.
Yeah.
What was that? Because it's just an absolute rocket.
And now I'm remembering the throw you're talking about where he missed Devontae. He was kind of on the run towards the sideline. Yeah, that's another throw that Rodgers makes in his sleep. Mm-hmm. It would have easy pitch and catch. I think it was like 3rd and 7 or something. It was third and
I'm thinking
longer.
Of the miscommunication that I brought up before, the back shoulder on 4th and 1 where Devontae kept running.
Okay, never mind. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, there was one where he was on the run and Devontae was very open, but he just completely missed him, and that was a bad throw. Like there was definitely some like throws where you're like, oof, that's. But then there's throws where it's like, damn, that looks really good leaving his hand. It was right on target.
It's so weird. There was the AJ Dillon throw, just a little check down when we were in our own end zone. Good enough play, obviously got some breathing room. And then there was the Mercedes Lewis. I mean, it's kind of like that Marion Barber run way back in the day, like the best run for 0 yards in NFL history where he went back like 20 into his own end zone and came out. Jordan Love avoids like 2 sacks. He's getting brought down and somehow gets it through to Mercedes
for a loss of one yard.
But still,
And kind of to go on that, there was some plays where he got out of sacks with his legs, and he picked up some yards with his legs, so that's super encouraging as well. I think we just need to be patient, and I've said this before.
I'm a big
judger of a quarterback by how the football leaves his hand. And man, when he's in rhythm and he can step in, I love the way it leaves his hand.
He's got those wobbly ones too, though. It's weird.
I think he just needs to get better and more used to throwing without the laces, because the wobbly ones, you can kind of see he's not throwing with the laces, like that fourth and one shootout that they converted to Devontae.
Yes. Yep.
That was off the lace, a little wobbly, but it was on target. It was right on target. It was a great throw, but just got to tighten that spiral up a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see. I do hope we can see him in this is almost ideal. You know, if Rodgers is going to be out and it's not for sitting, you know, week 17, I would hope it is COVID instead of like, an actual physical ailment. But I don't know. We'll see. It's a lot of good, a lot of bad, whatever. It'll be a battle for a different day. Moving on to receiver, Devontae Adams. We kind of talked about it there too. It's like, we're saying we're not used to seeing this. Devontae isn't used to it either. The pinpoint accuracy, it took him probably about as long as it took fans to get a little frustrated. You saw him throw his hands up a couple times, but he did finish with 6 receptions, 42 yards. He was targeted 14 times. So even with Jay Love, he's, trying to feed Devontae just as much as Rodgers was. A lot of people talked about going into this game too, how, part of that connection not going as well as we would have thought was Devontae didn't really practice this week. If, it's crazy. We might have forgot about how he didn't play against the Cardinals because he was out with COVID himself, but he wasn't cleared until Friday, so he only really had a walkthrough practice with Jordan Love. A lot of people use that as an excuse. I would say, he still had all of minicamp and all that with Devontae Adams, at least a little bit there, but whatever. Solid game for Devontae.
Four months ago.
Who's to say? Maybe. You're not wrong. Randall Cobb, really good game. 3 receptions, 50 yards. We talked about that deep bomb already. Also, probably forgotten play, that 3rd and 10, where it was like his 2nd or 3rd read where Jordan Love just checks it down to
Kept
Randall.
Kept his eyes downfield, was trying to find some, because he could have went to Cobb way earlier on that play, I think. But he waited until, it was the pocket was collapsed, and he dumped it out, and Cobb makes an incredible play to move the sticks.
It was a play that I'm used to seeing the Packers defense allow that to happen. Like, what are you doing?
You have it covered. You have the quarterback under pressure, and you have him catching it 8 yards behind the first down, and yet that's so true.
And once again, it's, people were bitching about it, and this game was a perfect example. Remember how everyone was upset, the anti-Rodgers people, that we were trading for Randall Cobb and it was going to hurt Amari Rodgers' growth? I think we need to worry about Amari Rodgers, the football player, instead of anyone taking snaps away from him at this point.
Yeah, just in general,
MVS, his first game back, 2 receptions, 19 yards. We'll see what happens there. But fuck, I think we'll just talk about it now. I don't know if we'll have take news. Kyle, it's been an ongoing, as long as we've had this podcast, fuck, this is our 3rd season now, at least one point during the season it's came up. Kyle, what do you think about Odell Beckham Jr. coming to the Green Bay Packers?
I literally just got a sleeper notification that says OBJ's team has also had conversations with Pats, Chiefs, and Saints. Sources say
those that sounds like
so what
like
what do candidates. I think about him coming to the Pack?
Yeah, I mean, it's so, well, for people who might not know, he was obviously cut by the Browns, I guess Monday or whatever. It was a weird thing where they delayed it. He's cut, wasn't picked up on waivers, so now any team could possibly sign him. Report came out that Odell's number one destination he'd like to go to is the Green Bay Packers. However, the Packers are strapped right now for the salary cap. I believe you only have like $4 million open that we can actually use.
Yeah, my jaded Packer fan self is just thinking this is a leverage play, like all the flashy free agents before, where they say, this guy really wants to go to the Packers. He really wants to go to the Packers.
Yeah.
And it's like, here's some team that'll just, throw a bunch of more money at you. That's what I think it is, but then the fan side of me, I mean, how could you not be excited about that? I mean, I think the whole, you'd ruin the locker room chemistry shit is so overblown and just, like, dumb. Like, yeah. I think, especially with the locker room this Packers team had, like, they would not allow that shit. They, you know, they pound the table about how many leaders there are in the locker room. And yep. I just think if that were true, they just, OBJ would not have any, like, room to cause a ruckus because the guys inside that locker room would shut it down quickly.
Yeah, and especially because it's not like he's going to overtake Devontae. Like, what are you going to exactly. do? It is the ideal scenario. The one thing I would argue, because a lot of people have said what you said too, that, you know, obviously it's Odell's agent or whoever using the Packers as leverage. I don't know what the leverage is in this situation, you know, because...
I mean, he's a free agent, so he can, like, any team can really pay him anything.
But with Gilmore, it was, oh, the Packers are interested. If we cut him, he's going to go to the Packers. And so that's what sped it up, so the Panthers actually traded for him. I don't know. You know, you're already in a bidding battle with the Patriots and Saints. Like, that's going to be enough. If he really wanted to go to the Packers, I think he will. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's probably that simple. And I'm sure, like, Goody and Russ Ball are probably call this agent and be like, hey, this is what we got for you.
Right.
Take it or leave yeah. it.
I think
that should be the approach. It's where, like, this is what we can do.
Yeah.
Come try and win a Super Bowl. But if yep. you want to go get more money, more power to you.
And I think that's what it is in these situations where, and we've said a lot this year, where Goody has said we want to be in every conversation. If you broke down, like, the offers that free agents or maybe trades have gotten in the past, I bet the Packers are always at, like, third, like,
the middle, yeah, exactly,
every single
never
time.
The top, but yeah, always in the mix.
Yeah. Moving on to running back,
what do you think? What's your fan like? What do you think about the player joining the team?
I don't know, it's tough because, you know, Kevin Stefanski seems to be a pretty good offensive mind. Their offensive coordinator, god, I can't remember, our old quarterback coach, Rogers boy,
Van Pelt,
yes, the guy who was mini Mike McCarthy.
Oh, he's in Cleveland now?
He's their offensive coordinator. He was the guy who called plays and was, like, the head coach last year when Stefanski got COVID. And, you know, it was kind of a...
Never mind. Go ahead.
I think it was a new regime last year, which was second year with Odell, first year with Stefanski. So it should have been a fresh start in a new system. And for whatever reason, Odell still couldn't stick to it. So I don't know if we... You're thinking of it too. Whatever deal he signs is probably going to be a one-year deal with whatever team. Right. So it really comes down to, where do you think you're going to look best? And we've seen the Patriots try it with people in the past too, and it hasn't really worked. I don't know how well Odell would gel with Belichick. I don't, you know, something you got to say. The Saints, I mean, that does make a lot of sense, but do you really want? I mean, who the hell is?
Yeah, not, Saints does make a lot of sense just because it's looking like Michael Thomas will be done for a year.
Yeah, no, he's out for the year now.
Oh, he is. That is official.
Yes, and it's Simeon starting for them now, right? So it's like, yeah, what do you want to,
like,
do?
And I don't, like. Yeah, he'll get probably all the volume he would want in New Orleans, but yeah. I don't think he would get nearly the same in Green Bay. Like,
that's
this
true.
Offense is a well-oiled machine that does not give a shit who is getting the touches.
Yeah,
and. I mean, Devonta obviously is an exception just because of the chemistry him and 12 have, but, like, you can't even have a fraction of that chemistry in the next, you can't build that in the next 8 games between 12 and Odell. Like, it's got to be tough for him to think, like, yeah, Green Bay is probably the best chance for him to win,
right.
but in terms of volume and stats, maybe not.
That's the thing too, because it's like, where does he go? Because I really don't think the Packers are interested. It's once again one of those things where right now I'm like, sure, whatever. Like, I'm not interested. I don't care because we still have.
I'm kind of there too, where I'm indifferent. I'm like, yeah, I'll get super pumped about it if it happens, but if it doesn't, I will not really care at all. It's really that simple.
It's still Adams number one, Lazard, MVS, and Cobb, who's been amazing this year.
Yes.
Cobb's been really, really good. And who are you going to take off? And then it's still Malik Taylor, and who's, like, on special teams, and Amari Rodgers, whatever the hell we're going to do with him.
And Aaron Jones has kind of, you know, faded a little bit over the past month, and he's going to, I think his pot is boiling, and he's going to have an explosion.
Yeah. I mean, God, he almost did it. We could have had that as a pick six play too, that one run he had where if he would have split it, he would have been gonzo, and we could have won that game. But, I mean, you can't really blame him. Anyways, shit, I was...
Quick tangent there.
Yeah,
quick
starting
to, news within the recap.
Running backs, Aaron Jones, 12 rushes, 53 yards, 4.4 average. He also had... He only had one target, didn't have any receptions. In fact, A.J. Dillon's the only running back who had any catches in this game. But Dylan did have just 8 attempts, 46 yards, a 5.8 average.
5.8 yards a carry.
He had 4 receptions, 44 yards, 11 yards per reception there. Yeah, do we want to, should we do, sorry for stealing your content, or no at this point?
Sure.
Okay, so we'll throw this in here. This is, hey, we're stealing your content. I'm a loser. I listen to the radio. Some mornings I called into Wilde and Tausch, and of course just talked to Jason Wilde, one of the, you know, head beat reporters for the Packers.
Couple of menches cutting it up.
I'm trying to make my own contact here, so here's sorry for stealing your content.
More thoughts from our fans. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Let's go to Spencer in Minnesota. Spencer, good morning. Welcome to Wilde and Tausch. Thanks for helping Jesse out. What do you got?
The game plan. I don't understand. Like, after the Cardinals game last week, I was starting to wonder, like, is Matt LaFleur more important to the success of the offense than Aaron Rodgers? And now, every time we stumble, it's the same thing in the pressers where he says, you know, we got to run the ball more. Jason, I know you have coach's number. Can you just text him Sunday morning and let him know, like, hey, this is you from the future. We're going to you're going to say you regret not running the ball more.
So, like, do a video of him. I could do, like, a montage of press conferences where he says we needed to run the ball more. And send it to him.
Or you can send me the contact, and I'll just say, hey, Matt, this is you in the future. It could be like a little Bill and Ted type thing, like I'm trying to save you.
Don't be this Matt. I like it, Spencer. I'll see what I can do. Thanks for the call. Tausch, what happens to a play caller? Because, look, we heard this from Mike McCarthy all the time, too.
So, as I said there, it's been an ongoing thing with LaFleur, and it, like I said there too, feel real good about LaFleur. And then other times, and you know, we kind of heard about this when he came over from Tennessee, how he didn't give Derrick Henry the ball enough. And it's funny how we said the same thing with Mike McCarthy and Aaron Jones. And now we seem to be getting that one with LaFleur and the running game, but to the usage of AJ Dillon, especially in these games. I've said it before where it's like, hey, this is an Aaron Jones game. Hey, this is an AJ Dillon game. Just feed him the ball. Every single. I don't think he had a negative run.
As funny as it is, it's like genuinely a good idea for someone to text Matt and be like, hey,
honestly,
I'm you from the future. In about 4 hours, you're going to be like, hey, we should have got the ball to AJ Dillon. I'm here to tell you, I don't want you to say those things.
Right.
Give AJ the ball.
It's been every single week this year. And Matt's a smart guy. And God, even after the presser too, it's amazing. No one has taken more blame for, there hasn't really been a more successful coach 3 seasons in than Matt LaFleur, but no one has taken more blame for, you know,
that's leadership,
minimal, you know, things that have gone wrong than Matt LaFleur too. So I don't know, hopefully he turns it around, but it's tough to really complain when you're 7-2. But yeah, I really like the running back. Something else we should mention, Patrick Taylor is the guy who is getting called up. I believe he went to Memphis in college, Kyle?
I think you're right, yeah.
I think it was a blue team. Ty Dune, enemy of the Packers, but a friend of Patrick Taylor. He did write a piece on him saying that, you know, he would have been at least a mid-round draft pick if he didn't get hurt his senior year or during the offseason workouts going into that draft of 2020, I believe. So I believe they've talked about him at kick returner. I know Malik's been doing it, but something to watch. He might not be. It does suck that Kylan Hill tore his ACL, but Patrick Taylor has, you know, during training camp at least, there was a lot of talk around him before Kylan Hill kind of really turned it up too. So we'll see what happens with him. Moving on to tight end. Obviously, Mercedes Lewis had the big catch for -1 yards. That was his only stat for the game. DeGuara a little involved again. I feel like you could chalk him up for this every week. 2 receptions, 16 yards. Yeah. But once again, he was someone who got a decent drive going for Jordan Love too, where it was just a very simple pass out in the flat there. But not much to talk about for tight ends. Bronson Kafusi on Jordan Love's one decent run where he picked up a first or close to it. Bronson Kafusi had some really good claps right in Jordan Love's face, which was nice. So he's a good team
guy.
Good.
I love insight like that. Good claps.
Yeah.
And I just love Kafusi. That's really fun to say.
Bronson Kafusi.
Kafus.
Yes. Moving on to the offensive line. Probably far and away their worst performance of the year. Like we alluded to earlier, 28 pressures they gave up, 48.7% of dropbacks. Love was pressured.
I mean, Spagnuolo, though, just, I mean, well, and I don't blame him.
They were calling for his head before this, but apparently like, young quarterbacks, he's really good at dialing up pressure.
Just, yeah, like, and LaFleur admitted as much that they did not have a good enough plan, and I wholeheartedly agree. It felt like there was a lot of, like, 3- and 5-step drops where it's like, yeah, hey, we got to get the ball out, and... a lot of downfield shit where it's like, come on, let's get the ball out of his hands. And they, I don't know, he just seemed kind of stubborn in his approach as the game went on.
We gave him a lot of praise when, you know, Elton moved to left tackle and, you know, this kind of patchwork offensive line we've had and how we've kept the tight ends in to block and how great that's been. This was like a throwback Mike McCarthy game where he's like, I don't care if Don Barclay is playing
left
tackle.
Put him on an island.
We're gonna drop back and see what happens. And yeah, it's not good things. So, I don't know. Royce Newman, he gave up 6 pressures himself. I think multiple plays he like let up. Like he couldn't decide which guy he wanted to block, so they both came free. We talked about before, Love was pressured a lot, and J.T. O'Sullivan had a video out kind of breaking a lot of it down. So sometimes pressure happens, especially on the edges. You know, we see Rashawn Gary always doing that, and that's more of a delayed pressure. Jordan Love is so fucked this game because it was the A and B gaps just right up the middle. Yes. No time to adjust.
Yeah, where it's like, yeah, at least on the edge, you can maybe step up in the pocket, buy yourself a half a second, you know, to make a throw. But, and yeah, I haven't even mentioned that. That's another reason I'm kind of taking this performance with a grain of salt. It's like, yeah, he was sped up all game.
It sucks. I need to see him again.
Yes.
I really want to. But, like I talked about, Royce Newman, he was the 2nd lowest rated player according to Pro Football Focus. Lucas Patrick was the 3rd lowest rated player.
Who was the lowest?
Do you really want me to tell you?
Amari?
No, he I don't think he played enough on offense. This is just the offense here.
Oh, was it Love?
It was Jordan Love. Damn. And it was, they really fucking got on him. They gave him out of 100, a 30, which is like some Garrett Bradbury pass blocking type grades there.
Damn.
Really, really bad. I don't know.
PFF sucks when it doesn't fit.
Once
our...
again, you know, next week we will give a bunch of praise for PFF.
A 92. Yes. Best site ever.
Next week, PFF will say Rashawn Gary is the best edge rusher in the league, and we will lead with that. But right
site
now,
is trash. Unsubscribe.
Garbage. Yes. Once again, I mean, we've talked about it a couple times here. David Bakhtiari on Wednesday, so tomorrow he'll probably get activated, I assume.
I feel like we've been having this conversation for 6 months.
Yeah, it's... I do think so, Kyle...
He was eligible, what, like 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, but the Packers are so conservative.
Sorry, I don't mean to sound all impatient. I just am.
It shouldn't be too much of a surprise. I think people thinking that he would have started sooner. It didn't surprise me at all that he didn't play last week. We're so conservative. He's going to start Sunday. I'd be very, very shocked if he didn't. My guess for the offensive line makeup, it'll probably be Bakhtiari, Runyon, Elton back at center, move Patrick out to right guard, and then keep Billy Turner at right tackle. That's what I would do. Kyle, would you move Elton? It's tough to move Runyon to right guard when he's been playing left guard all year. Kyle, is he
interchangeable like that? Like, does he get...
Runyon?
Yeah, did he get rips at right guard?
Mostly left guard and a little bit at center. No, not center. I think he primarily was left guard all of training camp. It was weird this training camp too, because out of nowhere, Royce Newman just took the right guard spot and never looked back. And since he's been playing this year, it's only kind of gone downhill. So we'll see. Patrick, I'd move Patrick out of center too. If we had known Jordan Love was going to start, I knew there was going to be snapping problems because Patrick is still learning how to be a center.
Oh,
and
goodness.
He's had his own direct snaps to Aaron Jones, which were supposed to be direct snaps to the quarterback.
That's right, yeah.
And we had a high snap to Jordan Love, and we had that other fumble deal when he came up to the line. So, I don't know. It's a negative. The offensive line eventually was going to suffer.
What is the status on Myers?
Myers, yeah, so that's something too. Why don't we just run through all the injuries quick? Myers, he did have surgery last week quietly, so we'll have to see.
I'm not hearing about this until just now.
So he did have surgery, and I believe, was it a knee? Yeah, he had a knee issue too. So we'll see what happens there. There hasn't been much of an update. I don't think they've really asked, and I don't think the Packers have to answer because he is on injured reserve right now. So we'll see. I would think he's still at least a month out. We're moving on to the defense here anyways, so this will get into it too. Kenny Clark, exited this game with a back injury. Matt did say that they don't expect that to be long term, so that's really good.
But I think that just translates like 3 week absence because I mean he
fine.
He but you really just hate because he got hurt in I think it was the second quarter and then didn't even come out for the second half. Like you really like to not even have you know the charade of at least being padded up and like. You know, thinking there's a chance to come back in. Like, no, he was in street clothes when they came out for the second half.
I guess, but at the same time, it's funny because he was in street clothes, but I'm like, ah, well, at least he's standing. He had a back injury. At least he's standing.
I mean, yeah, the back is, yeah.
Someone else who was hurt, Eric Stokes, he got hurt in pregame warmups, knee, which is oof.
That's why, yeah, because when, and I didn't know this until.
Right, yeah, like, texted midway, you and Hank.
Yeah, and I was like, is this real? Because he came out there and you see number 20. I'm like, wait, what? Like.
Yeah, so
I've been admittedly I've been rooting for Kevin King for the Redemption Tour this year, but when I saw that I'm like,
what's going on?
Well, yeah, like he didn't like. There's no way he deserves a play over Stokes and Razul.
Well, we'll get into that too. But yes, you can only assume non-contact. Matt also said that they don't see that as being a long-term thing, so that's fucking awesome.
Again, probably a 3-4 week absence, I imagine.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So I'm glad we avoided that, and the defense played pretty well without those guys out there. So that's good. Another thing, I think we've mentioned it briefly, but it's kind of a sure stamp now. Rogers last week alluded to it, saying Jair had some good news.
Mm.
And Joe Barry flat out said that Jair Alexander will be back at some point. So don't have to worry about that anymore. He's
like,
not going to
definitively was like.
Yes, it sounds like he for sure will be back. He'll have a brace, so don't expect Jair to be Jair. And Za'Darius Smith, he is back with the team now. Once again, so people were pretty optimistic hearing that. We talked about it a little bit the week before where we kind of got on him for not being with the team. And even when Matt talked about it, he said, I'm glad he's in our building, which is kind of some weird verbiage. It does seem like they're happy to have him back, and now they can keep an eye on him and the way he's recovering from his back surgery. So, anyone else injured? I can think of. We're probably missing someone. Well, okay, I'll say this too. Someone DM'd us last week, a listener. I said last week that Jonathan Garvin
idiot
tore his ACL. It was Chauncey Rivers. Yeah. Sorry, with Merciless being on the team now, we haven't got as much for snaps.
You are not forgiven.
Them. Yeah,
was
so sorry about that.
Horrific mistake.
Yes. Moving on to the defense. We talked about a little bit there anyways. Once again, gave up only the 13 points, 0 in the second half. Currently, the Green Bay Packers are 5th in yards, 7th in passing yards, 17th in rushing yards, and 8th in points even after the terrible week one. This defense is really good, and we're still without Z, Jair, and Kenny Clark now for a little bit. But
crazy.
Really, really damn good. We talked about it already. It's crazy how Joel Berry, I think someone tweeted this too, if we had hired Leonard and this was a Leonard coach defense, a lot more people would be talking about it.
Yep.
But because it's little old, whatever, Joe Barry, no one really gives a shit. But fuck, I could not be more happy right now.
Yeah, and even after that first drive, like, I was still, like, encouraged. Like, they had to earn every yard that they got. And, they went down and scored. It took them, like, 8 minutes or something, 8 or 9 minutes. And, even then I was just – it just felt like – They were getting into a lot of third downs, a couple fourth downs, and even for them to score, it felt where it's like, all right, this isn't going to happen all game. Like, they're going to get stops, and they sure did.
It's weird to have confidence in this. In
really,
this
really a weird feeling.
We're just, once again, as always, as Packer fans,
and not
ready
like
to
a,
get hurt.
And it's like this confidence feels different. Like, it doesn't feel like a false confidence.
We're getting better the more people are getting hurt.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't feel like there's someone, you know, over our shoulder just ready to right. stab us in the back. Like, it feels like a genuine, like, I like watching this defense. It's really, really bizarre.
I guess we'll see.
Famous last words.
Right. Depending on, you know, who we play later this year, because I'm even trying to think who we'd match up against that could give us a scare. Because, we've got the Rams coming up a little bit. We have Russell Wilson next week. And then other than that, no one that could really test us. So I guess we'll see. Getting to the position groups. Inside linebacker, Chris Barnes, already talked about him quite a bit.
Game of his life.
Game of his
career,
for sure.
Actually, don't care because that site's trash.
Yeah, there you go. I don't even have it on hand. Devondre Campbell, first time I can remember him not being in the top 5 for the defense and PFF rankings, so whatever. Outside linebacker, Gary, once again, great game. He's been filling in so well with Zadarius being out. The pressure on the late play was nice, and he also had that sack on third down, which was fucking awesome.
He's not even a fill-in anymore. Like, he is a legit stud. Like, yeah. Especially when Zadarius comes back, his snaps better not dip at all.
Yeah, I really hope so, because it's weird. We have too many... We have so much depth right now. It goes back to, you know, what Roger said last week too, and everyone else. It's Goody using actual veterans to plug these holes, yes. And we're actually getting better as the season goes on. Speaking of that corner, we talked about Stokes getting hurt. Kevin King was the highest rated player on defense according to Pro Football Focus. He did have that one dropped interception, which was a bummer, but I mean, hey, we'll take that from Kevin King as long as it's not an NFC Championship game.
Kevin, even when you do good, it's like you just it would have been nice. I don't know, I just think the whole energy of the game is different if it's 10-7 late in the fourth like that.
It was weird. So players obviously lie a lot to the media and stuff, but with Kevin King, you know, before the year two, he was very like, you know, zen and talking about like, yeah, you know, stuff happened, but I wanted to come back. I forgot exactly what he said, but he's not going to look past the bullshit or whatever. Something along those lines. And after he didn't catch the ball, Fox went to him on the sideline, and he literally was sitting on the bench, like, meditating. And I think he said after the game on Zoom, too, that what he does after those plays is he visualizes him making the catch.
Oh.
So I think that's what he was doing on the bench. So, I don't know, maybe open your eyes when you're on the field and you'll catch it. But either way, really liked Kevin King's game on Sunday. Rasul Douglas didn't grade out well, but fuck, you can't really complain about him and what Sullivan did. Here's a question. Is this, especially after Jair, we had questions, and, you know, Kevin King playing really bad when he was hurt too. I think this is the deepest the corner room has been.
Easily.
I can't really, since Al Harris and Charles Woodson were on the team, probably, and Tremont Williams, it's probably the deepest corner room since then. So yeah. I'll say that.
I can't believe Rasul.
Still sticking along. We'll have to see what the hell happens. Like, is he going to be the fourth or fifth corner when we get healthy? Whatever. That's a problem for another day. Safety, Savage and Amos both played really well. Amos, I believe, had a pick that got called back on offsides. And I hate this. We moved, but I don't know if we were offsides. Every time they give us a replay, it's not right on the sideline. It's always like from the backfield. So we see movement, but we don't know where they actually
And to be fair, though, I mean, the pick pride does. Like, I think Pat knew it was a free play, so he was a little hasty with it. But I really just love that Amos and Savage combo. I think it, like, Savage is just, you know, lightning in a bottle. He's just flying around, and Amos is like, kind of like a field general, it feels like, where he's very savvy, and he's not going to kill you with speed or power, but he's just a great football player that's always in the right place.
Savage is very steady throughout the year, Amos is very steady throughout the year, and Savage kind of goes up and down, but it does seem like he slowly gets better as the season goes on.
That's been pretty much the story of his career, where it's like he kind of comes out, and it's like, well, what is this guy?
Yeah.
And then he starts flashing. It's like, oh, this guy's good. Oh, this guy's really good. And it's just like up and up and up, and I think that's the trajectory he's on.
They were, Amos and Savage were two of the highest rated players on Pro Football Focus too, I think, just outside of Kevin King's rating, so whatever.
Love it.
Defensive line, Kenny got hurt, like we said. Dean Lowry was on a pitch count. TJ Slayton got a lot of snaps and played pretty well from what we could see. I didn't see his Pro Football Focus grade or whatever.
Yeah, he's got an amazing opportunity ahead of him with
big dude.
Kenny probably missing the next two or three, so this will be big, big weeks for him.
There was some clips on Twitter, too, where he's getting, like, blocked by the guard, just holding his spot and then breaking off and making the tackle in the run game. It's like, fuck, a rookie who can do that stuff, big body guy, he's only going to get better.
Big beef.
And even our guy, you know, we're the Poor Man's Packers podcast. We got a stupid garbage can on our logo. The Jack Heflin, the trash can full of dirt, he's getting more snaps now, too. So we'll have to see if he ends up doing something.
We really haven't used the poor man's. Because, like, what if TJ is, like, a poor man's Kenny Clark? Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, but we gotta pick our battles to use it. You know, it is a brand that we don't want to give to anyone. Now, someone like, you know, an undrafted guy from Iowa, Jack Heflin, we can throw it on him.
I don't know. Poor man's Dean Lowry.
I was going to say, that's why I started making a face before Kyle said it, and I was like, I don't want to say he's a poor man's Dean Lowry, because Dean's been really good this year, but...
A poor man's version of that is...
I don't know. We'll say Aaron Kampman. XFL. He went to Iowa, too, and he was a defensive end. We'll say that. He's a poor man's...
But, I mean,
we don't know anything
Kampman
about
was more like long and kind of slender, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was a defensive end.
He wasn't a trash can full of dirt.
Yeah, so... Yeah, that's all I had for... Oh, shit. Ugh, never mind. I think we were pretty positive for losing a game there, Kyle, but we did miss all of this. The special teams.
More like not so...
Bad teams.
Special team. Oh.
Yeah, so let's start with punting.
Regular teams.
Corey Bajorquez, yeah, had a couple...
Uninteresting teams.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Yeah, keep going. Corey Bajorquez, first punt was kind of a shank, not very good. The two after that were pretty good. He had one where the guy, the returner, had to take it out of bounds, and I believe he fumbled it as well.
Hey, pretty good snaps, though.
Yes, Steve Wuerdl, the new snapper out of Iowa State, grew up in the Chicago area, but roots for all Chicago teams, but not the Bears. He's actually a Washington football fan because of his uncle,
he said. Not anymore.
Well, yeah, but he kept saying that during the during his presser, too, and it's... I mean, I've gone back and forth on it, too. I hope no one gets offended when I say the slur, but whatever. Anyways, special teams, back and forth. Amari Rodgers. I mean, I can't believe Randall Cobb isn't returning punts. I hope he will be.
Really, I'm surprised.
This week.
And obviously, you probably saw that after that muff, LaFleur went up to Mo Drayton and was like, you need to get him out of there. Like, we need a new returner. And Mo just straight up said no.
And to his credit, he did have a 14-yard return after that, which is fine. But I don't really care about the returns. It's like the kickoffs.
I just
don't fuck up.
Yeah, and I kind of just wish that wasn't public information. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like,
I mean, it's like the conversation they had with the Bengals where he went to Mo and they kept, to Crosby, hey, are you going to make it? Yeah. Like,
yeah,
how many times
like,
did that happen?
Say? Yeah.
So I don't know. With the field goal unit, too, the snaps, it's an ongoing thing. The snaps, the locations on all of them seem to be much better than what Hunter Bradley had, but the laces were still close there. Boho is a really good punter, but it does not seem like he's a very good holder. And Wilde said it today, I believe, too, where that's one of the reasons why Buffalo didn't keep him is because he isn't a good holder. My conspiracy theory brain, not really conspiracy theory, but it's a theory. Bajorquez is a lefty.
Yeah.
I wonder if him being left-handed sucks because he obviously can't go on the other hand, so he has to use his non-dominant hand to bring the snap in.
I didn't know that until, but it actually makes a ton of sense of why he's struggling to hold like that.
Maybe throw back to, I mean, shit, now Love isn't going to have much to do.
Ooh.
Have him go back there and be the holder. Yeah. Just throw it back. I don't know. That's what I do. Kyle, you have any thoughts on the field goal protection unit, the punting, or returns here?
I went on this rant before, but with like the, because maybe the field goal snapping, like they say you can snap it in a way to put the laces perfectly for your holder.
Yes.
And I went on this rant before, but like there's only 32 long snapping jobs in the world. And it's such a specialized thing. Like,
yeah.
How are there not 64 like insanely elite long snappers in the world?
Well, I do think
it's so mind-blowing.
I think the reason why we moved on from Brett Goode is because they wanted a little bit more out of that position physically for whatever reason.
Why?
Like, I don't understand. And to not to the point, but Wuerdl, his first punt snap, he was in on the tackle. So Brett Goode never really had many tackles, especially
close,
in his career.
Friend of the show.
Very, very close. I want him to come back on, but I don't know. Scheduling has been tough because I'm very busy. Not because he's putting us down or anything. But I don't know. We'll see with Wuerdl. I feel a little better now, but it's gonna be an issue for a while now. Hopefully we can correct it. Coverage units seem to be better, but I don't know. We'll see.
And that's it for the number one Packers podcast, number one long snapping Packers podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it for this week.
Yeah, we filled that niche. That's it. We're not going to have take news, so we will have Is Colin an Idiot?
I'm not an idiot.
Okay, you sure?
Yes.
All right, Is Colin an Idiot for the week? Kyle, you are a extravagant. 14-10-1
Ooh,
on the season.
Not bad.
Kind of middle of the pack. I think the first year you struggled a bit. Last year, I mean, it was you were not an idiot pretty much from the get-go. But you're looking good right now. However, I'm going to hit you with your favorite Packer questions.
Who's the leading... Oh, go ahead.
No, well, you kind of sniffed this in the bud. Sniff this in the butt. Okay. How about that? We'll just roll with the new saying now. You kind of sniffed this in the butt, season one, where you don't like the history questions. So here we go. Kyle, this past Sunday was a rematch of Super Bowl I. Who scored the first touchdown in Super Bowl history?
Bart Starr.
Well, okay. I mean, he threw it. Who did he throw it to? God, I almost want to stop you just so you don't say something.
Yeah, I'm going to say something real dumb. Robert
Robert Ferguson. That's a throwback.
Day ones will understand. The
yeah.
Joke.
The go back
don't,
and listen.
Don't.
Well, no, you can go back and listen to the Tom Grassi episode if you want.
Moments of my life.
Yeah, that wasn't the best, but hey, we had Tom Grassi on, and he's like one of the biggest fucking NFL fan YouTubers now.
Yeah,
he had a really. We're not going to really talk about the Rodgers shit. You should watch his video if you want to, because he had a really good breakdown.
Kyle does
not condone. He has
Starr's,
not watched it.
Bart Starr is my guess.
The first touchdown in Super Bowl history was to Max McGee.
Mm.
I might have even used this back in season one. So Max McGee, great receiver for the Packers. This is how much the league has changed. Max McGee had two touchdowns in that game. Probably should have actually been the MVP.
Hmm.
We obviously won. He was hung over for the Super Bowl.
Love it.
The night before, him and Paul Hornung went out, and I believe Max McGee stayed out later. It was back end of his career. He was kind of like Donald Driver, almost. Maybe even lesser than Donald Driver was for us in the Super Bowl. Didn't expect to play. I think the first play, Boyd Dowler, I want to say, got hurt.
God.
And Max McGee had to come in, and hung over was the should have been the MVP of Super Bowl I.
Wow,
so.
Where was the Super Bowl?
I think it was in L.A. I think it was at the
Coliseum. Oh, yeah,
the Coliseum.
Yeah. Okay.
Could be wrong on that, but Kyle 0-1 for the week.
Well, no, I'll take a half a point there. I'll take a tie.
I'm sure you would, but I will not award
no,
it.
Yeah. Okay. No, Bart Starr. He threw it. He technically was on the stat sheet as scoring a touchdown.
If you ever get to idiot territory again, we'll add a tie or a point.
So we'll just add it on now. We'll call it good.
Okay. Second question. Kyle, who just barely crossed the line to get a first down against the Seahawks in the playoffs in 2019.
I don't even want to say his name.
You got it. That's kind of the point. That's why I put this in here. I want you to say it. I don't think you wanted to say his name last week.
Jim Graham.
Very good, Kyle. Yes, the conversion to seal that game, and it blew up on Twitter because Fox's line, yellow line, was off.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Real line, so everyone thought he was short when he actually made it.
Yeah, I was at that game, so I never watched on the broadcast because, like I said, I was at that game. But yeah, just watching him last night too. I mean, it's insane how just rock hard his hands are. The guy cannot catch anything.
Yeah, his hands weren't great, but God, if I remember, his cleats were worse. He was always
slipping and sliding.
But like we said back then, if you want, you could go all the way back and listen to season one of the podcast. Those two playoff games we had him for, he was a pretty good
the best pitcher. Is when he would run with the ball on the sideline and his inside arm towards the field would be carrying the ball.
Yeah.
And he would still manage to fumble.
Yeah.
Like he did the most bizarre bad things on a football field. Really impressive, honestly.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I was kind of fine with moving on from Jordy Nelson for Jimmy Graham at the time, but now I do wonder.
Looking back, it kind of makes me sick.
You wonder what would have happened, especially if we would have ponied up a little bit more for Allen Robinson.
Mm.
God, I wonder where we would be right now. Anyways, very good, Kyle.
Thank you.
Third question. You were 1-1. Kyle,
one,
can you...
1-0-1.
Whatever. Kyle, can you name... This is pretty open-ended, but I'm looking for one name here. Can you name any player that scored in the Packers-Seahawks playoff game in 2007?
2007.
This was the last Favre playoff run.
Ryan Grant probably got in there.
Yeah. How many times did he get in there? You can tell me. Come on. How many times did Ryan Grant get in there?
Thrice.
Very good.
Nice.
Yeah. As everyone probably remembers, if you watch this game, he started off.
Snowball, right?
Snowball, two fumbles, I think back-to-back drives. Eventually came back. He had one of the best playoff performances for a Packers running back.
Was that the Atari Bigby game too?
I can't remember. He probably did have a couple
hits. I think
because
there was a game where, yeah, I saw this clip on Twitter once. It was like a minute 20 long of highlights from Atari Bigby. And I think it was this game. And he makes like nine plays that are just like insane tackles,
all
interception. Yeah, and it's like, dude, if you would have just shown me that clip from that one game, I'd be like, this is the greatest football player of all time. But yeah, I think that was the Atari Bigby game.
Yeah, that game was a lot of games. I think most would say it was the Ryan Grant snow game. A lot of little memories from this. Ryan Grant snow game, obviously. Two fumbles, three touchdowns. Ended up being really good.
What a stat line. Two fumbles, three touchdowns.
Greg Jennings had two touchdowns. Brandon Jackson had a receiving touchdown.
My God.
The other little memory to have.
Gong show.
And I feel like they used this on ESPN for the longest time for B-roll when they talk about Brett Favre. This was also the game where Favre was stumbling, falling over, underhand throw to Donald Lee to pick up the first down. One of the last, like, Favre plays that we had with him for the Green Bay Packers. So, hey, yeah. I mean, really easy question, but good job, Kyle. 2-1 for the
2-0
week.
2-0-1.
Yeah,
right,
whatever. And
it.
You have your stump spenny, which comes and goes throughout the season.
Yeah, this is a fun one. Because I usually only want to give you one if it's like I can think of some bullshit question real quick, but I want to, like, you know.
Yeah, maybe have
good...
to sit down and come up with three of them beforehand for you every week. Yeah, Kyle, a lot. I feel bad for
you. You could take a break, too, if you want. I'm not...
Hey, I had...
I'm cool with continuing to flex my intelligence, but
I took a break once, and then I saw on Reddit someone said that they were unhappy that there was no Stump Spenny this week. I wonder if that person's
listening.
Really? Yes, so that's why we have had it every single week.
Damn, well, you're in for a treat.
We don't read
the
comments. We'd never read the comments. You have no influence on what we do for the show.
All right, so... Sunday, Jordan Love made his first career start.
Yep.
He was only the eighth Packers starting quarterback since 1992 when they were acquired aforementioned Brett Favre. Who are the other starting quarterbacks?
So Brett Favre doesn't
count. Name the eight. Name the eight since 1992 that have started a game for the Green Bay Packers.
So Don Majkowski does not count.
No.
Okay. So it's Brett Favre. It's Aaron Rodgers.
Two for two. Wow, you got the first two.
I'm going to go opposite here. Okay, Jordan Love, that's part of it. I almost said Deshaun Kizer. That's not true. Brett Hundley. What, Brett Hundley? I don't think Kizer started. I'll keep going. I watched your eyes there. Whatever. So Brett Hundley started. Matt Flynn started. Scott Tolzien started. Seneca Wallace started. It must be Kizer started a game?
Correct.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I did get all of them.
You were very confident that Kizer didn't, and he did.
Who did he start?
I can't remember, but he did.
Because we had the Mine.
Was it that Lions game?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Was
no.
The 35-0? Or was that
no,
Brett
because
too?
Rodgers started that game. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
He started and got a concussion that no one really talked about, and he's had a lot of them, and then that whole offseason. Either way, whatever, I guess I covered my bases.
Well, now I'm, like, questioning.
I don't think
my friend brought it up to me, and then I named those eight.
Yeah.
And he didn't dispute it. He said he missed Tolzien. I swear Kizer started. He had to have started.
Well, you know
game.
Whose fault this is. We can look at the empty chair.
Oh, damn it, Hank.
Hank, once again, the fact checker. We'll,
once again.
I guess we'll check,
All right, so I guess I am
an
idiot. My apologies.
Very
Kizer
good.
Did not start for the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
It was Majkowski.
Okay, yeah, because 92 was that first year. I was wondering if they were counting that or
he
not.
He started three games in 92.
God, what? Whoever, you Damn know, it. They come with a flashy stat to throw out there. Why don't they just say since Brett Favre? Then you can throw out Majkowski.
Yeah.
If it's only those three games, it would be a lot, whatever. But... Okay, that was a pretty good question. I'm really smart, I guess, so it's good that I got that. But, Kyle, that leads us into our final, one of our final segments, the preview of this week's game. We are playing the Seattle Seahawks at 3:25. CBS coverage, we do have Romo and Jim Nantz, so that should be fun. The Seahawks are getting 4.5 points, I think we're 1.5 points better.
I'm seeing 3.5.
Oh, really? Oh, shit. On Sports Action, I saw 4.5.
That's what I'm on right now. It says 3.5.
Weird. It must have changed. Okay. 49 point over under Overall, the Seahawks are 3-5 coming off a bye, I believe.
And getting a quarterback back named Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm. A pretty lame. I don't know. What do you think of Russell Wilson overall? What's your opinion of him?
I loved him as a Badger. He really made them very exciting. Turned completely sour on him after the Fail Mary and really the Seahawks in general.
Yeah.
And then obviously 2014 happened, and my gag reflex is initiated whenever I see them.
Yeah.
At least for 2-3 years after that.
At least this is at Lambeau.
But yeah, now I'm kind of just like, I think he's very not himself in front of the media. So it's like he's a very,
he is the most robot.
Yeah.
Even more than like Kirk Cousins. Like you turn up the like cheesiness with, yeah, Russell Wilson. Like the whole recovery water thing. Like,
yeah, I'm all for, you know, being polished and
not saying stupid stuff to the media.
Yeah, but
I can't imagine having a quarterback
where it's like, and now he's just like, it's so.
Well, even like he put out that video on Monday with the succession, yeah, and all that. It's like, dude, you didn't like tear your ACL. You had a pin in your finger for literally less than a month.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd probably cry like a baby, but either way.
No, it's all just a lot, but obviously a great quarterback. He does, yeah, throw an insanely pretty deep ball.
God.
And like the trajectory of it, where it's just like it goes up and then it comes right in, like the spiral of it. It really is something to behold.
It's weird. It's something with like him and Kyler Murray, where almost because they're shorter, there's more of a like whip that happens when they bring the ball back and, yeah, have to throw it deep. But God, I said it, you know, he's a robot in pressers, and the way he talks, he's a robot on the field too, because he really, yeah, is just the way he moves around the pocket. And
very fluid.
Doesn't, yes, fluid is very good. Very fluid and smooth quarterback. Mm. Anyways, got thrown off a little bit there, but yes, Wilson will be starting. Their leading rusher right now is Alex Collins. I saw something about Carson coming back. I think he may be starting practicing, but I don't think he's going to be there. DK Metcalf is their leading receiver, 580 yards on the season. They also have Tyler Lockett, who's a pretty solid wide receiver. On offense, they haven't been that great this year, but they've been without Wilson as well. They've allowed the 28th most sacks in the league, which, looking, it's a red number there, so they give up a lot of sacks. They're first in turnovers, so they don't actually turn the ball over too much. Their defense is pretty good. Fourth in sacks, 21st in passing yards, 21st in rushing yards, fifth in points, however, so their defense is pretty solid this year. Another thing to note, the Packers and the Seahawks have the two lowest graded special teams this year, according to Pro Football Focus, which I think we can trust them on special teams equations. So something to think about going, yeah, into this game. Kyle, how are you feeling this week?
I feel it's hard to have a feeling either way, just with Rodgers' status. You know, we don't know if he's going to be able to play.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like you said, I would love to see Love again.
Yeah.
But I don't really know how to handicap this game, just because of obviously the starting quarterback. But I do see that Seattle is second in red zone efficiency, which is a little
yeah,
scary. So if they get inside that 20, how do you define the red zone? 25 or 20?
I don't think it changed with the new kickoff rule. I think it's the 20. I'm pretty sure it's the 20.
Because I think I watch the Manning cast sometimes, and I think they kept referring it to as inside the 25. So,
interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. So hopefully, and obviously we all know the red zone woes of the Packers defense. So that is definitely an aspect of the game to keep an eye on.
Man, we didn't even have to talk about that, but with the Chris Barnes play, obviously was,
yeah,
you know, we only, yeah, allowed the one touchdown.
Yeah. Trending in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, shit, they didn't get close except for the one touchdown in that. I think those were the only two times they made it into the red zone. That field goal might've been further out than that, but yeah,
But even if Love is starting, I still think this roster is good enough to get the win at home. I think Love went into, I mean, people say the loudest stadium in the league in, yeah, Arrowhead. So he'll be much more comfortable if he's under center at home. He'll be able to communicate and operate very freely. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say our backup fact checker, trivia analyst, William, he was at the game in Kansas City.
Oh, hell yeah.
He has, I just had to say this, and we're actually running good on time this week, which usually doesn't happen. He's gone to a few Packer games. He bought these tickets in August.
Oh, no. So
he was hoping to see Mahomes and Rodgers. Ended up seeing, as he said to me too, the Jordan Love and Stephen Wurtel game, the first, you know.
Yeah, the Love debut is a pretty cool notch in the belt, though.
Would have been nice if it was a win, but aside from that, he was at the Seneca Wallace game.
Oh, jeez, this poor fella.
God, he was at, I think he was at one of the Brett Hundley games, too. All these games, gets bad luck that he happened to go to, but yeah, I'll leave it at that. I just want to bring that up, the bad luck for watching games.
It does look like Seattle does have a pretty decent defense, though. Fourth in sacks, fifth in red zone, so they're good on both sides of the ball in the red zone. They get off the field on third down. They're sixth in the league in that.
It's just a tough team to judge because they have a decent defense, but they haven't had their quarterback all year, and the offense is just, it's almost like the Vikings where they kind of handicap themselves and don't want to air the ball out too much. They're really a run-first team, even though the weapons they have, you think they'd try to air it out a little bit more.
Yeah, so their defense is no slouch, but it definitely doesn't strike fear into you the way, you know, the old Seahawks defense used to. So, it's going to be tough to try and predict this game. So you go ahead and start us off.
Oh, wow. Okay, you think we're already ready for predictions. Well, you're right, because I don't have anything else to talk about the Seahawks. Yeah, I mean, Rodgers is probably going to start. I would be pretty shocked if he doesn't.
Yeah.
Hope I still, you know, I second game from Love would be awesome, but I have the Packers winning 34-21.
Ooh, wow.
Bounce back game. We talk a lot about Aaron Rodgers and the grudge, and I think he's a little pissed off after everything that occurred over this past week. Wants to prove the haters wrong, even though this wouldn't really prove anyone wrong as to what they're pissed off about, but he's pissed. I think he airs it out. Couple touchdowns, 34-21, finally getting back up in the 30s after having 24-24 point games for quite
a
while there.
I like it a lot. I am going to go, and this is regardless of the starting quarterback, I'm going to go 28-20.
28-20, okay.
That feels like a Packers-Seahawks in Lambeau score.
Yeah, it's a lesser. We've said a lot about like weird games. We knew the Cardinals game is going to be weird. We knew the Bengals game is going to be weird. Seahawks, I don't know, we have the obviously terrible memory from 2014.
Yeah, I think Russ puts together two touchdown drives, a couple field goals, and
it's usually like the Seahawks stumble or have a couple stubbing their foot situations against us.
And LaFleur tries his best to keep the field goal unit off the field.
I thought you were going
to
say to run the ball.
And the offense just scores four touchdowns. So 28-20, good guys.
Okay, moving on to bold predictions. Kyle, hey, you ready for your bold prediction?
No, you go ahead.
Okay, well, I alluded to it a little bit earlier as well. Packers special teams, not too good. Seahawks special teams, not too good either. I've said it too many times this season. You can't take a piss or your bathroom break during special teams anymore because explosive shit happens. I have a special teams touchdown happening in this game. Packers
like it
or Seahawks. Either or. We're letting it happen with Hank. We're getting a little more flexible with what we're doing here. It could be good. It could be bad.
Special teams is so bad that like...
We've been pretty good on returns though this year. As bad as they've been, it's funny how that was like the big problem with Meninga, and now it's like everything else has kind of been an issue aside from the punt returns. But
all right, I'll allow it.
Thank you. Kyle, what is your bold prediction this week?
OBJ, two touchdowns.
that would be the most bold.
No, yeah, because even if he does sign, he's obviously not going to play.
What if he signs with the Seahawks and has two touchdowns? that would be wild.
All right. Well, I will go with, Ooh, I love this, actually. Our favorite combo, Savage and Amos. A pick a piece.
Ooh, a pick a piece. I like how that sounds too.
I keep running through the last time Russ was in. Oh, actually, this wasn't. I think the last time Russ was in regular season Lambeau, he threw five picks. You remember that game? That was so fun.
Was that the Devontae game right off the bat where he had a touchdown? What year was this?
Yeah, because I don't. Maybe it wasn't the last regular season. God, we've played the Seahawks so many times over the last.
It's weird. Yeah, the Vikings years, too. 7 years. Played them quite a few times.
So yeah, maybe it wasn't the last one. But I mean, everyone knows what I'm talking about. The 5-pick game, like,
yeah,
that was a fun one. So pick a piece.
Okay, that'd be pretty cool. We'll see. We'll get Hank's predictions. We'll have that on the graphic that I'm sure everyone's going to look forward to seeing on Twitter. But with that, that's all we have this week. So as always, if you could please.
There it is.
Leave a 5-star rating on Apple. That would be cool. Tell your friends to do it too, even if they don't watch it. I don't care. Just grab your wife's phone right now.
Mm.
Go over. Give a 5-star rating.
You're upgrading your phone at T-Mobile.
Yep.
Hop on all those phones.
Yep. T-Mobile, the number one phone company out there. Go out there. Just give all the 5-star ratings. Tell a friend, maybe, whatever. Once again, as always, if you want a stupid koozie, I will send you a koozie.
They're not stupid.
They're awesome koozies.
Very, very good koozies.
William had a koozie in Kansas City last week. So yeah, if you want a koozie, email us at pmppodcast@gmail.com or you can DM us on Twitter at pmppod. Yeah, just give us your address, whatever. We'll send you a free koozie. Man, it's kind of weird. Not usually we even have a recording from Hank.
I like the just, you know, handoff to Hank, but now it's like I forgot how to dismount.
Yeah, it's tough. Well, I really don't have anything else. Kyle, do you have anything else, or do you have a song you'd want to go out with? I'm not even prepared for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I try
to go back and forth, some indie shit, some rap shit.
I definitely would have got one. Because I know you like to pick songs where, like, there's this build-up and then the beat drop when we stop talking. I love the way you edit that.
Last week I thought it was a good one with the Naked Giants, too.
No, I can't really. But, all right, well, I call dibs on
next
song
week?
Next week.
Okay, I'll find a Future Island song. So, okay, pretend I didn't say that. Kyle, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
just be patient with 10, okay? Be patient. Let's see some more reps.
Usually it flows into next week.
And
now
let's
an overarching just, thought yeah, for him.
Let's just, you know, just relax. Take a deep breath. He showed some flashes. He'll be okay.
All right. Well, with that, Future Islands, please don't sue us.
Let that go.
Seasons change. I've been
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.